from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me to begin this time meditating upon the Word of God? Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching of the apostles and for the record that we have in the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for your words that come to us. And now, Lord, this time when we think about what you have done and what you have caused to be written for our learning, that we may, at this time, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I would ask you now to take your Bible in hand, and we're going to say what it is that we believe and how important this is. Yes, please stand. We say, the Bible I hold is God's word from cover to cover. It makes me wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training me how to live. I need to read, listen, and learn from this foundation laid by God. This is most certainly true. Amen. You may be seated. And then I would ask you to open up back to the second chapter of Luke, of Acts, because we'll be making reference to particular parts of that in the course of this message this morning.
Well, you heard me mention the matter of the Super Bowl to the kids. And, you know, you think about all the money that is spent, you know, how much did the commercials cost? Like, up to $6 million.
And then you think about the fans, and some are more than fans. They might say they are fully devoted followers, like of the Rams or the Bengals.
Fully devoted followers. You say, well, what do they look like?
And then the camera pans through the stands, and you see these people, you know, being really crazy and fanatical. And you say, wow,
those people are fully devoted to their team.
And you wonder, okay, what about fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? What do they look like? And as I mentioned to the kids, they begin to look like
one that they are following. And maybe holding up a mirror, you could look and say, oh, that's what a fully devoted follower of Jesus really looks like.
Well, in order to expand on this a bit, I want to take us on a little tour through the Bible and
review some of the transformational events
that cause people to be followers of our God. As we run through the Bible, we have to start at the beginning. And at the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The event of creation. And think about day number six, when for the very first time in human history, eyes opened up. Ah, the eyes of Adam, and he beheld that beautiful creation that God had made. He must have been absolutely, absolutely amazed. And then on the seventh day, you know, God, having looked at what he had made, said it was very good. He took a rest. He took a Sabbath.
And fully devoted followers of our God observed a Sabbath.
That every seventh day, they devote a day to the Lord, to meditate upon him and to gather with fellow Christians, the people of God. And then think of a day, let's go several thousand years to the day of the parting of the Red Sea. And the people of Israel paraded through on dry ground, and they walked away from slavery forever. They were devoted followers of our God who led them. And then they did a little, a kind of a victory lap around, as they said, and made continued their parade and danced with their tambourines and their musical instruments. I will sing to the Lord, for his triumph gloriously, the horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. And that celebration has continued for many, many years, especially in the Jewish community, thinking about the Passover, everything from the plagues all the way to when they were across the Red Sea. And we also celebrate the Passover every time we take the Lord's Supper. And now we're going to go another 1,400 years back forward into a night. What had happened that day was the birth of Jesus. And the stillness of that night is broken. The darkness of that night is broken by the presence of angels, the stillness by the song of angels, announcing that the Savior of the world has come, and that God the Son has taken on human flesh in order that in that flesh he might win atonement for all of our sins and secure for us eternal life. The devoted followers of the Savior Jesus continue to celebrate that. And an annual event that we call Christmas, we remember and we celebrate the fact that the Son of God came into the world. And then we go 33 years forward from that, and we come to Good Friday, the day that they nailed Jesus to the cross. But it wasn't just nailing Jesus, it was nailing all of our sins to the cross and putting them into the grave along with Jesus so that they would no longer stand against us, so that we would not be held guilty and that we would not be in bondage. Another transformational event in which the forgiveness of sins is now made available. And it isn't something that we celebrate only on Holy Week and Good Friday, but it is a part of our everyday experience as we experience the forgiveness of our sins daily, celebrating the gift that was purchased at that cross for us. And then we go 3 days, just 3 days after that, and we come to Easter Sunday. Think of that morning, that glorious event as Jesus rose up from the dead, and sin, death, defeat, and the devil's domain were all smashed into a million pieces as Jesus rose up from the dead. The devoted followers of Jesus observe an annual event we call Easter.
But Easter is more than just on that one day. Did you know that today is Easter? Christians celebrate the first day of the week,
coming together, assembling themselves for the Word of God and for receiving His gifts at His altar. It is an everyday, it is not just a once a week experience, but it is an everyday experience as the old man in us is ground and the new one comes forth, forgiven and fresh and able to take on that world. Every time we celebrate Holy Communion, it is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ made present, made real, brought into our experience. We're going to look at one more event, one more historical event, transformational event, and see what happens to the followers of Jesus as they become fully devoted. It's called Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, and it was a Sunday morning. Now, there are more people in Jerusalem than there usually are in town because there is, there's an international and a multilingual gathering of Jews from all parts of the known world. And something, they're there to celebrate the annual First Harvest Festival. But there's something bigger going on than just the harvest festival. There is the harvest of souls that takes place as the Holy Spirit is poured out. People heard a mighty windstorm, and of course they were curious, what's going on? And they were puzzled by what they heard and saw. The disciples, in a state of absolute joy, proclaiming the wonders and the praises of God, and exalting that risen Savior Jesus Christ. Now, these curious believers, our audience, they wondered what is going on. And Peter got up and spoke boldly, and he told them that this was a fulfillment, a prophecy, where the Lord had said through the prophet Joel, "In the latter days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." He explained it to them, and also when they were cut to the quick, realizing that the man that they crucified was God's Messiah, Peter said, well, repent, which means turn away from your sins, trust in this Jesus Christ because he's alive, and be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of sins. And you too will receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children. This is transformational. And what happened is on that day, 3,000 people were baptized. Yes, their hearts were turned by the Holy Spirit to receive the gift that had been promised to them. But this wasn't meant for just one single day. With the proclamation of the word, it has been replicated multiple times throughout history. People coming to faith, people's lives being transformed, people's lives actually being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we think about the first lesson that I read to you from the second chapter of Acts, the concluding part of that chapter, from verses 42 to 47, if you have your Bibles open, we can pick out a couple of pieces of that, especially as we think about your theme for the year, about devoted to service. What does it mean to be fully devoted to the Lord? It begins by saying, this is what happened to that early bunch of Christians. First thing they did was they devoted themselves. Let's just stop there. Devoted themselves. Until you devote yourself to the Lord, you are not a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. It isn't just devoting a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but your whole self, you know, from the heart, onward, outward, the whole self to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now think about the characteristics of that. When they devoted themselves first to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. They needed to be grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Now, the apostles were highly qualified to be the teachers of what Jesus had said and what Jesus had done, because they not only spent a little time with him, they spent 3 years. They heard everything that he taught. They saw the miracles that he had performed. They were with him in the upper room for the Last Supper. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was betrayed and arrested. They witnessed on the next day the crucifixion of their Lord. And they were in a room locked up when the risen Lord appeared to them. And over 40 days, Jesus appeared again, teaching them and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they even heard that great commission that said, go and make disciples of all nations. The unchanging truth is what these early Christians held on to, and that we say we hold on to too, in the words of the apostles and the prophets, the word of God, because the apostles, when they spoke, it was God speaking. And when we go to the word that they wrote down, it is God that is speaking to us. And so we need to be a people who are united in service. If we are in united in that truth, if we are to be a people of service. The next thing is it says that they devoted themselves to what? To fellowship. Fellowship. Which is more than just two fellows in the same ship. It is people together, knowing that they are one in Christ Jesus. Fellowship with each other because they are in fellowship with God. And you notice that the closer we all come to the cross, the closer we are to each other. So the fellowship with God leads us inevitably into fellowship with each other. We are connected. The writer, one of these books that's called Hebrews, talks about not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together and experiencing that fellowship. In verse 44 of that Acts 2, it says that they attended the temple together. It says that they were together. They were together in their hearts, their minds, their service, and present with each other. I know, that sounds kind of intrusive, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, it's like, God says, all right, all your previous agendas, you can trash those. I want you to be on my agenda. Christianity is a pretty intrusive, disruptive kinds of things of our ordinary habits and agendas and preferences. He draws us to one another into his agenda. Our Savior Lutheran is busy looking at praying about what is God's agenda for us, and we need to be united together on that. The next thing they devoted themselves to, it's called breaking of bread. Now, I want you to think about two elements of that. The first is the thing that we frequently do right here in this place, kneeling at these rails here, and that's the Holy Communion. They celebrated this frequently, and the background of that, of course, is our Lord Jesus on the night of his betrayal. He was having that Passover meal with them, and this was the covenant meal of the people of God. And the people that commune together, it says we not only are in communion with God, we are in committed fellowship with each other. A little bit more about that as we go along here. The second part of it is that they shared meals in their homes. So often in Christian families, even in Christian families, it'll happen that sitting together at the table together as a family is a rare thing. We need to be, whenever it's possible, and change everything else so that we can have that meal together and where we hold hands together. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. A little prayer, table blessing attributed to Martin Luther. Now, that means to be devoted to prayer as well. It says, and they devoted themselves to the prayers. Prayer as life, and life as prayer. Praying without ceasing. And if your prayer life is minimal, don't expect God to be paying a whole lot of attention. Because if it isn't important to us that we are drawing everything together in prayer and bringing it before the Lord, and every part of our life saturated in prayer, we're giving a message to God that says, that's not important, you're not important, I'm important. And then so often that leads to our prayers usually being about ourselves. You know, get me out of this jam, get me out of that problem, and so forth. So we need to be praying with each other. We need to be praying for each other, not just in the formal prayer time. Why not let it just break out spontaneously from time to time? And hold each other's hands and pray. You know, I'm going into the hospital, I'm going to be having these tests and so forth. Oh, let's pray about it right now. You know, what's wrong with that? Can't we do that as well? That as we go past Acts chapter 2, we get into chapter 4, what has happened is that Peter and John had gotten into trouble with the law for proclaiming the risen Christ. And finally, they got released from prison, and they gathered together with the other believers. And in that one room, that one place where they were, the prayer goes up, and it's recorded for us what it is that they said was really powerful, acknowledging the power of God, which was so much greater. And it wasn't just, Lord, deliver us from these evil people that are trying to hurt us, but, Lord, as this is going up, make us bold to proclaim your word. And what happened, it says that the place where they were gathered was shaken. If you ever gathered in prayer, you notice, this place seems to be shaking. You know what that shaking is? That's Satan shaking in his boots, because when Christians are down on their knees, they are in a position of strength and power and victory. Because when we surrender ourselves on our knees before the Lord, we cause the powers of evil to surrender. We need to be praying about all the issues that face us in our lives, that face our nation, that face our church, that face our families, face our community. We need to be continually in prayer about that. The next thing we find is that they were committed to and devoted to sharing. In the 44th verse of chapter 2, it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That doesn't mean they were communists, okay. But this is what, I want you to think of it this way. And when we think about stewardship, we have to think of it this way. And that is, we don't own anything. Everything that I have, even my 401k, it's not mine. It's God's. But God has put me in a position of stewardship and responsibility that through whatever he has given me is to make sure that I have food and shelter and so forth, and that my family is also having food, shelter, etc. But he also uses me and what he has placed into my lap so generously
It's to be there for others. Yeah. And this, because it isn't mine, it's his to determine how that goes. And so they were so different from the rest of the world, which was so wired in on self. And now they were wired in on God and each other, sharing with each other all that they had. And it says that they had glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. You know those two things go together? You want to be glad? Then be generous. I have never seen a joyfully stingy person going around, but I've seen a lot of happy, generous people. You want to be happy? Be more generous. Let's be like those people were back then. We could say they were fully devoted followers of Jesus. Sure, they had their problems. They got into difficulties and jams. So do we. But you know what? We can be more fully devoted followers of Jesus. The first thing is we connect more closely to Jesus. We go to his word. We experience his grace, his forgiveness, his love. We go to the cross. We dump the load of our sin. We go away joyfully in resurrection. We daily remember our baptism, the old person drowned and the new person coming forth, who will live and serve the Lord joyfully. And ultimately, it leads to praising God. That should be the outflow of every part of the Christian life, is that God receives praise, thanks, glory through us. And that ought to be our passion in our lives, because, you see, the Son of God devoted himself to us. He devoted himself to service, going all the way to the cross for us. And he says, okay, if you're a fully devoted follower of me, you're going to start looking more and more like me. You're not going to be just a fan that shows up once a year at a Super Bowl, but or watches it on TV and has some special food for that. But this is going to be the daily way of life. Would you like that to be a part of your life? Would you like that to be what characterizes you? Would you like to look in the mirror and say, that looks a lot like a fully devoted follower of Jesus? And then the ultimate outflow is this, that the Lord added to their numbers daily. You know, there's only one way the church can grow. Only one way. And that is we have to tell other people. Yeah. You want the church to grow? Let's just be telling other people about Jesus. Yeah. We don't make the church grow by our plans and our strategies. Never has a person been won because someone sat at their computer and came up with something. No, it is person to person telling other people about Jesus Christ. Wow. Growth follows and flows from fully devoted followers of Jesus, because he has given us that commission. That's the business, he says, I want you to be in. Fully devoted followers of Jesus, you want to be one of those? May it look a lot like you. First, you devote yourself. Turn yourself over. Yeah. Just sign the papers. Say, I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to you. And then devote yourself to the apostles' teaching recorded for us here in this book. Devote yourself to fellowship. Love one another unconditionally. Support, help, serve one another. Devoted to the breaking of bread. The fellowship meal of the people of God. Devote ourselves to prayer, because the issues of our life, the issues of our community, of our world, of our church, are important. And if they're important to us, we're sending a signal, God, they're important to you as well. And then devoted to serving and praising God. May he make that happen more and more in our lives, and lead us continually in that direction, because that's what he wants, and we want to want what he wants. Lord, take us another step forward in that. All of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.